6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hello, and welcome to the Latin American History Podcast. Episode 128, Brazil in World War II. Part 1, The Build-Up. The men shivered as they looked up the slope at the bunkers which protected the hill they had been ordered to take. Clothed in donated US uniforms and under-equipped, the task must have been intimidating. The weather added to the challenge. Winter rains prevented the Air Force from assisting, and the mud which this had created made tank support impossible. They had to achieve their objective soon, however. Before long it would start snowing, and the route to Bologna, which the British troops hoped to take, would be impassable. This was among the most difficult sections of the whole Gothic line, the front which cut across the top of the Italian peninsula, and which separated liberated Italy from the heart of Central Europe, where the besieged but still dangerous Germans were stubbornly repelling attempts to dislodge them from three different sides. These men, and their American allies, were attempting to regain ground which they had already won, but from which they had been forced to retreat by a fierce surprise counterattack. Progress had been steady until then. They had gradually moved up the northern part of the peninsula, but now the assault would have to wait. The snow started falling, and it wouldn't be until the new year that they were able to attack the Apennine Hills, which held the key to further progress. The men were Brazilian, and how strange must this all have seemed to them. Most had probably never seen snow before, and many would have never experienced this level of cold. They found themselves occupying rustic and ancient Tuscan villages, a completely alien land, but at least the culture may have been partially familiar due to the shared Latin heritage of Italy and Brazil. Some of these soldiers were even the children of Italian emigres. Alongside them, though, were soldiers from India, Senegal, Algeria, Greece, and Australia. It's true that Brazil was already a very multicultural country, with an immigrant population drawn from many parts of the world. I imagine, however, that almost none of these soldiers would have encountered people from these particular far-flung places before. Just outside the town of Pistoia is an open space. It's green and leafy, lined with those thin Tuscan cypress trees. Today it's a peaceful place, surrounded by small fields of olive trees and beautiful Renaissance Italian architecture. Lines of square stones sit in the grass. This is one of many World War II cemeteries dotted around Europe, but this one is different. Three flags are there. The Italian one, as it is in Italy, a Brazilian one, and a white one, showing a snake on a yellow shield, the pipe in its mouth emitting a trail of smoke. The names on those slabs are mainly Portuguese, as is the text on the monuments. The bodies are no longer here. In 1960, they were taken to lie in a new memorial in Rio de Janeiro. Officially, the men who fought in the battle I just described, some of whom were buried here after the war, were known as the Brazilian Expeditionary Force. Colloquially, however, they were the Smoking Cobras, and this is why that strange flag flies over the cemetery. The name had been a sort of joke. It had taken quite a lot for Brazil to send troops to Europe, and people had started saying to each other that it was more likely for a snake to smoke a pipe than for Brazil to actively join the war. A phrase a bit like the English one about pigs flying. Now that it had happened, they took the image as a badge of honour. Today the phrase has been adapted and changed, in response to this World War II experience. It's still used in Brazil, but now it refers to something which will inevitably happen, with force and fury. Brazil's contribution to World War II is often forgotten. It came late in the overall progression of the war, and as I've just hinted, it almost didn't happen at all. Mobilising an army which hadn't fought outside its borders since the War of the Triple Alliance, all the way back in 1870, was difficult. This is why it had to borrow equipment. All of this would suggest that the Brazilian contribution might have been ineffective, and a footnote to the conflict. They obviously didn't fight on the scale of countries like Britain, France, Germany, Italy, and Russia. But then why would they? Their contribution consisted of this Italian campaign, rather than multiple fronts over several years. And they were integrated into the US Army, rather than fighting independently. They were, however, an important part of that campaign. While searching for information online, an article quickly comes up whose title asks if the Brazilians were the most underrated fighting force in the whole of World War II. A captured German captain is quoted as saying, "Frankly, you Brazilians are either crazy or very brave. I never saw anyone advance against machine guns and well-defended positions with such disregard for life. You are devils." One US colonel said that the Brazilian unit of pilots was the best unit under his command, and recommended it for a presidential unit citation. It wasn't until Ronald Reagan examined the subject that this was granted. At the time, this recognition was judged to be impossible, because despite operating as part of the US Army, only US units could win it. Now that they have it, however, they are one of only two non-US units which do so. In total, Brazilian soldiers fought for 229 days. 25,334 went to Europe. 443 were killed, and 1,577 were wounded. Many of the men were draftees. There was a year-long mandatory military service in the years leading up to the war, and so those sent were largely the people who happened to be fulfilling this at the time. It was possible to avoid this service if you had connections or if you were studying at university. Or you could join army shooting clubs if you could afford it, where you were taught to shoot but did not actually have to join the army. Despite this draft, the expeditionary force had been given a set size, and so each unit could not actually take everyone. This meant that in practice, many of those who ended up doing the service and who were actually sent to fight in Italy were people who made the effort to ensure that they were selected. Becoming an officer, on the other hand, was a matter of choice. To do this, you signed up to join one of the academies. It was seen as a good route of social advancement among the urban middle class, and was denied to much of the population because a good level of schooling was required, which many of the ordinary population were unable to attain. If you could get in, though, you were part of an institution which provided further opportunities outside of the army. During training, you were provided with classes in subjects like maths and chemistry, which had uses in general society, alongside more purely military subjects. A list reveals the occupations of the fathers of those entering the military academies between 1941 and 1943. The largest contingents had fathers who were themselves in the military or were merchants or civil servants. A decent number came from upper-class backgrounds, with doctor, lawyer, engineer, or land-owning fathers. Only about 4% came from occupations which were categorised as lower class. Because Brazil had not fought in foreign wars for so long, the training was largely theoretical. There was a lack of equipment, and so soldiers learnt to do things like use artillery in the classroom. They did not often get a chance to actually practice their knowledge. A lot of this was done with the assistance of experts sent by the French army between the two world wars. Because there was little obvious prospect of Brazil going to war at the time, these methods and the French assistance campaign itself faced resistance and scepticism, particularly amongst the old guard of officers. It was in August 1942 that Brazil decided to join the war on the side of the Allies. But initially, all this meant was providing resources to the active participants and trying to defend Brazilian waters. There were numerous reasons for the decision, some of which we will talk about in a couple of episodes' time when we look at the war at home in Brazil. One of the major ones, however, was completely military: German attacks on Brazilian ships. In fact, although not technically at war, Brazil had already been fighting against the Axis for a few months as it defended its shipping. Several merchant boats had been sunk by German submarines near the country's coast, but also as far away as Trinidad. Brazil had ended up sending its air force to patrol the coast for submarines, but between the 15th and the 19th of August 1942, six more ships were sunk. This was the thing that pushed them to declare war. The Minister of War appears to have had sympathy for the Axis, and he made it known that he believed US or British submarines were responsible, but this couldn't derail things. Despite the official state of peace, Hitler had drawn up Operation Brazil, the idea of sending a fleet of submarines to take control of the country's waters and to attack its ports. In the end, he was persuaded to scale back his plans. There were much more important places to use their resources, some of his advisers argued. But one submarine was sent, and was responsible for those six sinkings. This one submarine caused absolute chaos.
Thank you to the sponsor of today's podcast, Warpath. The men of Second Company had their mission, but war is never predictable, and even the best laid plans crumble under the chaos of battle. If you're the kind of person who thrives in that environment and loves tactical decision-making, then you need to check out Warpath, a strategy game that lets you immerse yourself in battles with realistic terrain, sound, and gorgeous visuals. With over 30 million downloads and a 4.6 star rating on iOS, Warpath lets you build the ultimate armory, customizing over 300 units with 1,000 unique modifications, and allowing you to forge real-life weapon parts to upgrade your arsenal. But brute force alone won't win the war. Like the Colonel, you need strategy. Thanks to Warpath's responsive RTS controls, you can use tactical positioning, air support, and flanking maneuvers to outwit your enemy in massive battles. You can employ creative solutions to take out your enemy, by using sniper rifles, for instance. And the best part? You're never out of the fight. Rapid recruitment lets you reinforce your troops when they're in the field, and even if you're defeated, you keep all of your resources. Experience an ever-shifting battlefield with army groups, artillery, flanking, air support, and more in this fun-filled war simulator game. So if you're ready to test your courage, tactics, and mettle against brilliant commanders from around the world, download Warpath today on PC or mobile by using the link in the description.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Because of its vast size and rough geography, many of Brazil's most important population centers were on the coast. And at this time, boat was still an important way of connecting the country up. Roads were fewer than today, and in much worse condition. Even creating the fear of sea travel caused internal disorganization and disconnection, before even considering the actual ships which were sunk and the disruption to international trade. The primary advantage of a submarine is its stealth, and as the Brazilian Navy was aging and small, it was completely unable to detect the attacker. This one submarine was able to enter unnoticed, right into the bays on which Rio de Janeiro and Salvador sit. Its captain seems to have been particularly ruthless. There is some confusion about exactly how much he took it upon himself to target Brazil. We know he was sent there, but he may have been told to stay in the Caribbean when he reached it. Finding no combat there, he appears to have decided to ask permission to relocate down to the South American continent. Apparently 2% of Germany's U-boat commanders were responsible for 30% of all the sinkings achieved by these submarines across the whole of the war. Many didn't sink anything at all. This guy was part of that 2%, although not all of his victims were Brazilian. It wasn't just a job for him, it seems to have been a passion. His primary targets were civilian merchant vessels. He encountered the Bipendi between Recife and Salvador. His first two torpedoes missed, so he turned around and shot two more. The Brazilians had no idea that he was there, and within 4 minutes, their ship was beyond hope of saving. Of the 320 aboard, only 28 escaped on a lifeboat. 2 hours later, he attacked another ship. Of the 131 passengers, 4 escaped by clinging to wreckage, although one had some sort of breakdown and let himself drown. Another attack took place that same night, which saw similar casualty and survivor numbers, and then another sinking soon afterwards, although most of these passengers were rescued. A final ship had a lucky escape when a torpedo hit it, but did not explode. The U-boat itself also had a close call when it was spotted a couple of days later, having surfaced to make minor repairs. A Brazilian seaplane attacked it, but it was able to get away. A few days later, it was in Salvador Bay, attacking a ship belonging to Sweden, another neutral country. The crew made it ashore, but the ship sank. After this, the U-boat commander returned to Germany, but he was sent back a few months later.
He had instructions to do things differently this time, though. He largely stuck to raiding boats belonging to actual enemy nations, passing across the Atlantic. This was ironic, because, thanks in large part to his actions, Brazil had now entered the war, and was an enemy. He captured and sunk several more ships, mostly British ones, it appears, before an American plane managed to hit his submarine with a bomb, and he was killed along with his crew as it sank. It wasn't until April 1943 that the idea of forming the Brazilian Expeditionary Force was formally agreed with the US government. Mobilizing this force, however, was quite a challenge, and it would take time. Officers were sent to the US to learn from their allies. As political sympathies varied among individuals in Brazil, indeed across Latin America, and because there was a large population of Germans and Italians, or the children and grandchildren of people with origins in those countries, examinations were done into the views of the officers, and those judged to be more committed to the Allied cause were given more prominent positions. As a side note, there was also a large population of people of Japanese descent, but Brazil never formally declared war on Japan. We saw in the episode on the vaccine revolt that the philosophy of integralism, a fascist-related political ideology, had been popular among the army over the preceding century, and this meant that some of the troops might actually sympathise with the Axis. As we've seen, this went all the way to the top, and to the Minister of War himself. Training of the ordinary troops began, but the lack of equipment meant that this could only be done in batches. They could not all be trained at once. Teaching the soldiers how to use the equipment was difficult, because what was available varied greatly, so no standardised instructions could be given. Artillery, for example, had been bought in previous decades from companies based in France, Germany, the UK, and increasingly new models from the USA were being added. Specialist draftees were needed to fill in non-soldier positions, as these did not really exist in the existing Brazilian army. Policemen from Sao Paulo were made into military police, while people working in electric and telephone companies were hastily converted into signals and communication units. Some of those doing their military service did not end up going. A certain standard of health was required, and because of the social conditions and the low pay that came with being a soldier, some did not meet it. Dental health was a major cause of people failing their medical examinations, as was not reaching the minimum height requirement. In some cases, this may have been because those soldiers had not received adequate nutrition as they were growing up. While the preparations were being made, the question of where they would eventually be sent was being debated. There was a proposal to send them to the Azores, those Portuguese islands in the Atlantic, so that Portugal itself could reallocate its men to defend the mainland. It was decided, though, that the Brazilians could be of better use elsewhere. North Africa was another idea. A tough campaign was being fought in the deserts there, and reinforcements would definitely have been useful. By the time that the Brazilian troops were ready, however, the conflict there was pretty much over. The Allies had won, and this provided them with a launch pad to invade southern Italy. The Brazilians could still go there to act as a garrison and free up other soldiers. The government, however, wanted its soldiers to see combat. That invasion of Italy provided the most logical place to send the soldiers. It had begun in Sicily, and it had been tough work inching northwards. There was still plenty of work to be done there. A Brazilian commander, Mascarenhas, had gone ahead to both North Africa and Italy to observe the situation. While getting an understanding of the conditions of war and the enemy, he realised that the uniforms which Brazil did have would not do on their own. They understandably were not designed for the level of cold which they would experience. The US said that it would provide new ones, which it already had stocked in Italy. The project was almost derailed, as, and I'm not sure why, Winston Churchill secretly lobbied the USA to abandon it. He doesn't seem to have believed that the Brazilians would be much help. As the preparations dragged on, some Brazilian commanders became impatient and lobbied their American equivalents to cut the training short. They were persuaded that this was not a good idea, and that the training process took a frustratingly long time in the USA as well. Finally, though, in June 1944, the first Brazilian soldiers arrived by sea in Naples. In mid-September, they were sent to the front line to reinforce the 4th Corps of the US 5th Army, which was struggling as large parts of it had been sent to help with an invasion of southern France. They passed through Rome and stopped in Pisa, and it was from there that they would begin their campaign. If you've enjoyed this episode, I want to do something to help the show out. One thing which is really useful is if you leave a review wherever you get your podcast from. It helps new people to discover the show, and this helps me to continue to make more episodes. If you really enjoy the show, it is possible to sign up and become a friend of the podcast. This gets you access to one special episode per month and costs just $2 per month. A huge thank you to everyone who's already done one of these things. And thank you to everyone for listening.
Months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.